Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Wednesday. Wanted to take a moment by thanking everyone who wished me a happy birthday. You know, when you turn 44, it's not one of those things that you openly celebrate. In fact, I actually forgot that it was my birthday, and my fiance surprised me as soon as I came home. So it was one of those things where, you know, when you're younger and you're in your, 20s, and like even when you turn 30, it's like a big deal, right? Like you know, 29 to 30, it's like, oh, I'm a grown up now. And then you hit 40, and that's when you start to, you know, think like, man, when I was a kid, that was really, really old. So just wanted to again thank everyone who reached out over social media, Facebook. By the way, like the one good thing about Facebook is that everybody remembers when your birthday is. LinkedIn, by the way, as well. LinkedIn, Facebook, all that good stuff. That's how people remember it's your birthday. Wanted to take a moment to recap my trip to Indianapolis for the NFL Combine. And the one reason that I went to the Combine this year, I've never gone before. I've always heard about it. And by the way, it definitely lives up to the hype, I guess. And when I say hype, you know, a lot of media members have told me for years, like, you got to go to the Combine at some point. It is, you know, you're walking around downtown Indianapolis. You're going to all these steakhouses and bars, and it's filled with all these head coaches, GMs, scouts, whatnot. The reason that I went this year is because Caleb Williams will very likely be the first overall pick in the draft. And the Chicago Bears have a decision to make. They have the first pick in the draft. They do have a quarterback. They do have Justin Fields. The question is, will Justin Fields be the quarterback of the future for the Chicago Bears? And I think the reason that I wanted to go to the Combine this year is for the first time since November 11th to talk to Caleb Williams and to see how the draft process is going. I'm glad that he talked to the media. I think for far too long he let the media control the narrative. And I don't know who's been giving him advice in terms of the media, but I thought it was very important for him to come out and explain, you know, here's why I am going to, you know, work out during my pro day. Here are the teams I'm going to talk to. Here's the truth about the rumors out there that I wouldn't play for the Chicago Bears or that I wanted to like go in a piece of the team, which again, it doesn't hurt to ask, but that's just not something that happens in the National Football League. Wanted to welcome in the from the Sporting Tribune, my good friend, Grant Mona. Grant, how are you?
Doing good, doing good. I hear some Caleb talk, and I'm all in on it.
Yeah, I mean, so the reason that I went to the Combine this year, and I've been hearing about it for years, and the reason that people told me that I need to go is, like, it's the best schmoozing in the National Football League. I mean, basically, every bar, every steakhouse, you know, you walk into, you're going to see either a head coach, GM, team executive, league executive, so something of that nature. But the reason that I went this year was because of Caleb Williams, because 9 USC Trojans, I believe, were there, and the Chargers have the top 5 pick. The Raiders have their pick, and the Rams, for the first time, as you know, since 2016, when they selected Jared Goff first overall, they had their pick. But the Caleb thing was the one that kind of pushed me to say, listen, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to catch up with him. And I just thought it was very important. And but by the way, he was for the first time since November, again, when he last talked to the media, he got proactive. Again, he talked to Pete Thamel beforehand. He talked to the media for about 15 minutes. And here's the thing. I have no issue with Caleb Williams controlling, you know, where he works out, where he does his physical, like all that stuff. Again, there's only one team. Again, he's going to go one. I think he's going to go one to the Chicago Bears. And I totally agree with Caleb Williams. I mean, there's no reason for him to be working out at the combine, throwing at the combine, running at the combine, having him going into tests and, to, you know, be interrogated by all teams in the National Football League. And I think, thankfully, as a society and as media, we've kind of gone away with, like, well, the teams want to talk to you, the teams want to poke and prod you, you got to let them. No, like, Caleb doesn't have to. And at the end of the day, you don't have to go that far back to think of a father that wanted to control the team that his son went to. You know how popular the Manning family is? If people remember, the San Diego Chargers wanted to select Mr. Eli Manning. And in fact, they did. People forget that. I think for a moment there, there's this picture out there of a very sad Eli Manning holding a Chargers jersey. But he was never going to play for the Chargers. And it worked out for him. Obviously, he won his 2 Super Bowls. But it's so interesting to me that, again, you don't have to go that far back to have a player and his father basically say, we don't want to play for that franchise. By the way, it's San Diego, for goodness sakes. I know they haven't won a Super Bowl before, but, like, one of the most beautiful places in the world, did not want to play there. For whatever reason, they have the reason. By the way, Caleb Williams and his father have not done that. They have at no point said, we don't want to play in Chicago. In fact, he said the opposite when he was talking to the media. He's gone on to say, I will work out for teams. I will have a pro day. I will do, like, everything that the teams need, I will do. I'm just not going to do it at the combine. By the way, he's not the only one. You go to the combine, the top 3 picks in this draft will all be quarterbacks. And you know what? None of them worked out at the combine. So, Grant, you know, I think we want to have things to talk about and things to complain about. And Caleb maybe made himself, you know, like a low-hanging fruit. If you want to, like, knock him for not having a great senior year, I hate that they knock him for crying to his mom, like, after a loss. I mean, like, wait, so he cares too much? He has too much passion? Your thoughts on sort of, like, what you've seen, read, and heard about Caleb?
Yeah, I think I don't know why there's a bad picture being painted on Caleb Williams right now. Like you just mentioned, I mean, all this guy cares about is winning football games, and that's why he got emotional. That's why he was with his father and with his parents in the stands, is because he wanted to win at USC so bad with Lincoln Riley, and they just had a disappointing year. And people are going to look at USC's year and be like, okay, well, Caleb Williams, you know, he had a down year. His stats were comparable to his Heisman year, if not better, in a lot of the categories. I don't think the Bears can pass on a talent like this again. They already passed on Patrick Mahomes. They passed on many quarterbacks in the past. They haven't had a generational quarterback ever in their history. I mean, you can go back years and years and years, even to the 80s, when they had a very good defense, which ultimately won them a Super Bowl. But since then, you haven't had that generational type of talent like you've seen with other organizations. For a team in the Chicago Bears that needs a guy like that, this is a perfect pick for them. And I know there's a lot of people that are saying, oh, well, you know, Justin Fields, you know, he's integrated himself into the team and all of his teammates love him. Listen, do you want to have your teammates love you, or do you want to win Super Bowls? Do you want to have a winning type culture, a winning quarterback? That's what this guy's all about. I've watched him for 2 years at USC. I watched him at Oklahoma. This guy only cares about winning, and all of his quotes at the combine, people are taking it out of context. People are saying this and that about how he responded to them. Oh, he didn't participate in this and that. This, like you said, the top three quarterbacks didn't participate. I didn't see Drake May out there. I didn't see Jaden Daniels out there. Did you, Arash? I did not. So this narrative that, oh, he's doing all the wrong things up until the draft and leading up until the draft, I just think that's a bunch of BS. I really do, because Caleb Williams is the real deal, both on the field and off the field. I love his mentality. Yeah, sure, some of the things that he does can seem a little bit cocky, but I'd rather have that than the latter, a guy that just doesn't want to face the facts, a guy that doesn't want to, you know, be that kind of guy. He said, I want to be somebody that changes a franchise, which I think that he can with the Chicago Bears. So I think he will be the number one pick. All this stuff is just talk right now about, trading that pick for extra picks. No, you got to go after this guy when you have him, because they already made the mistake, like I said, with Mahomes. I don't see them doing it again.
No, and I think the unique position that they have is that I think for at least a year, and I don't think that they will do this, but I mean, I do think Justin Fields could be a very good quarterback for another team.
I agree.
I think the Bears have to figure out, like what is that value? Again, they're probably not going to get a first. It's very hard now in the National Football League to get a first, certainly with a quarterback that if it's clear that they're going to go with Caleb Williams, it's like, we're not trading a first for a quarterback who's not going to play. Can they get a second round pick, a high second round pick? I mean, the question is, what can the Bears get? I believe so strongly now that he will go one, he will go to Chicago. And I do believe, what you're saying, Grant, that when you've been, shocked or put in a position, in a situation where you pass on a generational talent like a Patrick Mahomes, and now you have a quarterback in Caleb Williams, who they're basically saying is the next Patrick Mahomes. And whether he is or not, it's going to be very hard for you to pass up on a quarterback like that again. So the question now is, Grant, you know, what can they realistically get for Justin Fields? And is that a trade that they have to make prior to the draft?
I think they do have to make it prior to the draft. I think they make it, Arash, before free agency opens, and that's March 13th or 15th, I believe. So it's coming up here soon. What they can get for him. Now, I've watched a lot of people talk about this, and I even saw the Adam Schefter comment on this, and a lot of people are saying, you know, a lot of the draft capital that you can get from a second, third year kind of guy, it's not going to be a first round pick. I don't think it warrants a first round pick. I think it's somewhere in the range of a second and a fourth and maybe like a third, maybe. That's like three picks. But it's not going to be anything crazy. Maybe you get a young player back. You know, I'm not even sure about that. I think it's just going to be a draft package of a second, a fourth, and maybe a fifth. And even that, Arash, but here's the thing, you know, you look at that and you say, okay, well, three picks, what are you going to do with that? Those are pretty high picks.
For
a Bears team that needs all the help they can get, whether it be on the offensive line, whether it be on the defense, they will take those picks. And I think that can restructure their roster pretty good.
Grant, you know, the big key in what the Bears need, and this will really dictate what they can get for Justin Fields, is the amount of competition for Fields. Now, if there's no market for Fields, and I don't think that would be the case, but if there is, if for example, if Pittsburgh is the only team that's saying, hey, like, we really want them, but we'll just give you a number two, or let's say like they lowball them and they say, we'll give you like a three and a seven or whatever.
Yeah.
Again, I found out during the combine how small the league is, in the sense that like everyone knows each other. Everyone knows like what's happening around the league. It is also amazing to me, and you found this out when the great Chris Mortensen passed away. A lot of players and a lot of people around the league would, you know, contact Morton and say, well, what are you hearing? And again, the reason that they're comfortable doing that is basically more like, we'll give you a scoop if you tell us what you're hearing about the Bears. And if the word around the league is that they're not getting like any takers on field, like you can kind of swoop in and like lowball Pittsburgh. I don't think that that's the case. I mean, what do you think, Grant, is the market in terms of, again, there's probably a lot of teams out there. I'm looking at Las Vegas, for example. There's been talk in Vegas, like, would they, you know, select a quarterback high? I don't think they'll select a quarterback with the pick that they have right now, because I do think that there will be, following the top three picks in the draft, there's going to be a drop-off where you can maybe pick your quarterback in the second round. But, I mean, if they can, for example, package a 2 and a 3, I don't know, I'm just saying. I saw Justin Fields run up and down the field at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. I mean, he's a very good quarterback. Not a good fit for Chicago for whatever reason. But what are some of the teams out there who you think would benefit from having a Justin Fields on their team?
I think that the Falcons should be at the top of the list. Yeah. I think that they're in prime position to take somebody here. They're going to have a new quarterback. I know there's a lot of Kirk Cousins talk there, but me personally, I'd rather have a guy in Justin Fields that you can kind of build around for years. You know, Cousins is coming off an Achilles injury, so that may not be the ideal spot. Obviously, we mentioned them a lot, the Steelers. I'm not really sure how that fit is going to be. They don't have a lot of weapons. They have George Pickens. They don't really have a great running game. Their offense is a little bit stagnant at times. So I don't, maybe he can inject some energy there. You can look at the Patriots. I know they have the number 3 pick. I'm not sure if they draft a wide receiver. I'm not sure if they draft a quarterback. It's kind of remains to be seen right now. You can go to the Commanders. The Commanders are in the same spot. I think they're going to draft a quarterback, so that's probably not the spot. But you can go to a team like the Seahawks even, because Geno Smith's getting up there in age, and we don't really know about his contract status. They just picked it up, but it's not really a guaranteed thing. And like you mentioned, the Las Vegas Raiders. There's a lot of teams in the mix here that he can go to, but you got to also realize is that the free agent class for quarterbacks is pretty substantial this year, right?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson is on the market now for probably a minimum value deal. Baker Mayfield's on the market. He had a very good comeback year with the Buccaneers. Kirk Cousins is on the market, but Justin Fields to me is a very dynamic player that if he gets in the right system with a good offensive coordinator, I still think he can be very, very good and thrive in a system like that.
The Russell Wilson story is so fascinating because you go back to his time with Seattle and like even his final year when we're trying to figure out, who's going to leave Seattle. And by the way, I mean, it's amazing that, they traded Russell Wilson, but then also they, I don't want to say they ran off Pete Carroll, but I think Pete Carroll had a change of heart and wanted to come back. And they're like, no, we've already moved on from you. How does this, and I'm going to like ask you like a big picture question, because I do think that this affects how we view Russell Wilson. I mean, if you go back to, if he completes that touchdown pass against the Patriots and he wins 2 Super Bowls, I mean, at that point, I'm thinking first ballot Hall of Famer. Like if something happened in his career and he had to retire, like just in that small sample size, I'm thinking first ballot Hall of Famer. But that pass gets picked. He only has won 1 Super Bowl, and he hasn't been back since then. The time with Denver was just so terrible that you can't ignore it. And you just brought up something fascinating that's probably true. I mean, he's going to take a 1-year, very low, perhaps a minimum contract for Russell Wilson. And again, listen, he's not want for anything. I mean, he's making a ton of money and he's fine. But I mean, if you're talking about a guy who we had as a first ballot Hall of Famer not that long ago, perhaps a, one pass away from winning 2 Super Bowls. And now, he's like, if he retires in a couple years, I mean, again, just the whole Hall of Fame picture of him has changed. Your thoughts on what's happening to him?
Yeah, it's kind of such a weird situation right now with Russ, because if you look at his stats, Arash, and I like to bring this up to a lot of people, and I'm in no way comparing the two, but Russell Wilson's regular season stats were better than Patrick Mahomes' regular season stats this year, in terms of completion percentage, passing touchdowns, interceptions. Russell Wilson actually had a pretty decent year last year, but we kind of get away from that because of the whole turmoil with Sean Payton and, the money and contract situation. It was a little bit dirty. So, but in terms of his situation Hall of Fame status. I mean, this guy's a 9-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
He's a Super Bowl champion. Like, he's won a Walter Payton Award. He's been an All-Pro many, many times. I think he still gets in, but I can compare it to Russell Westbrook, where this guy was an MVP of, you know, obviously he doesn't have the title, the championship, but he was an MVP of the league and he was an All-Star many, many times, but now he's still serviceable, but he's still not at the level that maybe he thinks he's at, or at, you know, the contract that he had. So I kind of compare the two because they're in similar situations. They're on the latter end of their careers. They can still provide something to a team at a very high level, but they're just not worth that high end price anymore. And, you know, I don't know where Russell Wilson wants to go. There's really been no indications yet. I think we're going to kind of have to wait for the draft to pan out, but I still think he can give a good amount to a team that's looking for a bridge quarterback.
Yeah.
A team that's maybe looking to be in contention right now, that doesn't have a veteran presence. I don't think he wants to take a bench or a second string role right now. I think he still can provide a good type of offensive output. So I'm really curious to see this one. It's so nasty how that ended. I mean, that trade was one of the worst in NFL history, but it wasn't on him. He just went to the team. So I'm kind of excited to see what happens with Russell Wilson.
The thing that the next team has to figure out, and again, he was generally considered such a great team guy. And you look at, you know, no quarterback was better post-game in terms of like a very polished press conference. So he always said the right things, did the right things. But the way things ended in Denver and the way he kind of rubbed some coaches and some teammates the wrong way. Like, if you're talking about signing a guy to a 1-year contract, and he may not be comfortable being the backup, again, I have like all the expectation in the world that he will be with the team next year, given the season he had last year. But it will give some teams pause when they think about, man, I mean, do we want that? Do we want everything that comes with Russell Wilson? All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Clippers and Lakers and a little bit of Dodgers. When we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. Let's bring Brack back in. Grant Malone of the Sporting Tribune. Grant, last night, or a couple of nights ago, was a really significant moment in terms of like the Lakers and Clippers. You know, you kind of have these moments where you want to match up against the best in the league. For the Clippers, they were out in Milwaukee, and for the Lakers, they were going up against the Oklahoma City Thunder. I want to start with the Lakers because, again, this goes to the point that we've made, I think, several times on the show, that I would not be surprised if the Lakers beat any team in the Western Conference in the postseason except for the Denver Nuggets, who they've lost to 8 consecutive times. Obviously, the problem there is, I mean, at some point, they're going to play Denver. I still think, and again, a lot of Lakers fans get on me when I say this, but I mean, I still think when you look at what they've done this season, the talent that they have, all that stuff, I mean, if they get to the Western Conference Finals once again and lose to Denver, like, I'm not going to be disappointed at that season. But the game against Oklahoma City showed me that I'm picking the Lakers. And again, you can call me a homer, but I mean, I like their chances, whether it's the Thunder, who again, I think despite the amazing season that they've had, it just feels like they're like a year early. Like I don't see them going all the way to the finals, and I don't even have them going to the conference finals. But whether it's the Thunder or the Timberwolves or the Clippers or whatever, like I'm not going to be surprised if the Lakers with LeBron James, with Anthony Davis, you know, you go down the list of like the really good role players that they have, from Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura. I would not be surprised if they go on a similar run that they did a year ago, win a couple of rounds. And again, I don't see any team beating Denver, not only in the Western Conference, but I do think Denver will repeat. So let's start with the Lakers, Grant. I mean, did the victory against Oklahoma City tell you something about this team that you did not know?
Not really, because I always believed that they were a great matchup with the Thunder. I always thought that if it got down to it, and if this still could happen, if it's a 2-7 matchup with the Thunder and the Lakers, yeah, I think I'm taking the Lakers. The Thunder just did not, they looked undersized. They looked very overpowered. And I know they were coming off of a back-to-back against Phoenix. And I don't really like to give those excuses anymore, because every team goes through these kinds of things and you just got to win basketball games. So yeah, the Lakers obviously had more rest, but they just looked overmatched. Look, the Lakers took 3 out of 4 against Oklahoma City this year. This is not just a fluke win.
Yeah.
The Lakers match up very well with Oklahoma City. And, you know, Arash, you and I have said for many times that we believed in this roster. We believe in Rui Hachimura. We believe in Jared Vanderbilt, who's going to come back here soon. Yeah. We believed in Austin Reeves and the duo of LeBron and AD. This team has shown in spurts that they can get things done. So to see this run, look, they're 7-3 in their last 10. I think they have the seventh best record since, I believe, January 20th or something like that. Yeah. So they've been playing very good basketball for a very long time now, to where you can kind of point at it and say, okay, if they keep this momentum and going into a playoff scenario against the Thunder or the Timberwolves, because they're still probably going to be in the play-in, but all the teams in front of the Lakers are not playing well. The Suns have lost 2 in a row. The Kings have lost a few here and there. They're 5-5 in their last 10. The Mavericks have lost 2 in a row. The Warriors are up and down a little bit right now. The Lakers and the Warriors are playing the best basketball out of that bunch, and these teams got to be careful, because the Lakers and Warriors, if they keep playing like this, they could be in a 6 seed, a 7 seed, yeah, and hosting one of those playoff games, or even out of the play-in. So this season is so fluid, to where you can look at a matchup like we saw last Sunday, where the Lakers just look outmatched down the stretch against the Nuggets. You know, like, oh, well, this team isn't ready to compete. And then they go play the Thunder, and it's like, wow, this team may be ready to compete now. So the ebbs and flows of an NBA season are always so funny to me, because 1 week we'll be saying that the Lakers have no chance, and 1 week we can say that they do have a chance. But overall, the Lakers, if they continue to play like this, I like them in a lot of matchups, except the Nuggets one.
Yeah.
But I honestly just think that right now it's the Celtics and the Nuggets, and it's everyone else. And I know that's not the fun thing to say. That's not the great thing to say to all these fans, but if I'm just looking at pure basketball talent and how these teams are playing, I mean, the Celtics and Nuggets are just playing such great basketball. And no matter how great the Lakers or Warriors are playing, I just can't see anybody right now currently beating the Nuggets or the Celtics. So I know that next week I'll probably be saying, oh my God, what's wrong with the Nuggets, or something like that. But as of now, the Lakers have been on a great pace, on a great roll. Everyone's stepping up, and they're getting players back here soon.
You know, what I like about them is that they have players on this team that and again, this happens during the course of a postseason. We saw it with Rui Hachimura. We saw it with D'Angelo. Like, you know, game 3 of a first round series, a guy can go off. And we saw that against Oklahoma City when they beat them 116-104 on Monday. Torian Prince comes off the bench, 14 points plus 29. Just an amazing stat there for him. 26 points, game high for D'Angelo Russell. Again, these are guys who I think, again, we do have to realize with them that it's not going to be consistent, and that's fine. But on a night like that, and that's a big spot for that team for the Lakers, you know, for Torrey and Prince to come off the bench and have a night like that, plus 29, again, amazing stat off the bench. But then D'Angelo to lead all players on the Lakers in scoring. That's what I like. They have guys like that, whether it's Austin Reeves or Rui or whatever. Like, this is a very deep team. And we thought that coming into the season, and that's why I'm still surprised that they're in the position they are in terms of once again being in that play-in tournament. But Grant, I guess like the depth that they have. Again, they're not as deep as the Clippers. I get that. But they have a lot of guys that I can see come playoff time really contributing and helping them, again, go a lot further than a lot of people may project right now.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I just think it's the physicality aspect. I mean, Rui Hachimura is a big gentleman. Jared Vanderbilt's a big guy. They have a lot of size at the front court. Anthony Davis looked insane. He's been looking insane, and I think it's completely ridiculous that he's not in the Defensive Player of the Year rankings right now. I don't even see him in the top five, which is completely ridiculous. This guy is probably playing the best defense of his career, except for last playoffs. So I got to give him his flowers there. If you have a defender like that, nobody on the Thunder can guard LeBron James. We saw that last night. We saw it for four games this season. It's very hard to still guard LeBron James at 39. He can still get down the floor in a hurry. If I'm just looking at their rotation is going to be probably eight or nine players. And I know they have a lot of depth, but if I'm looking at the Lakers 8, 9, 10 man rotation, I like it against a lot of these top teams. Look at the Timberwolves have not done anything recently. The Thunder have not done anything recently. We know that the Lakers can beat the Clippers multiple times in a season for the first time in who knows how long. The Pelicans, the Lakers have a lot of size to match up with the Pelicans. The Kings, they don't really have the size to go up against the Lakers. The Lakers have pedigree. People forget that. Just last year, they were in the Western Conference Finals. Austin Reeves, he may seem young, but he was in a Western Conference Finals last year. Rui Hachimura, yeah, he may seem young. He was in the playoffs last year. This is a core that, I've said this when we were comparing the Clippers and the Lakers, this is a core that has been there and done that. And I know they haven't won a title. I get that. And I know that they're the 9-10 seed. It doesn't matter to me. Seeding right now for me, Arash, I don't think it really matters that much. I'm looking at matchups now. I'm looking at who matches up well with who down the stretch. Because when you get into a playoff series, the seeding doesn't matter. Yes, you will get home court, and I know that does matter. But when you're in the game, matchups matter. Who's going up against who? Who has the advantages where? Half-court offense and half-court defense are very crucial. So the Lakers are in a great spot right now. I just hope that this consistency lasts, because this is the first type of consistent play from the Lakers that I've seen since the in-season tournament where they won and they looked like a contender. So the Lakers and Warriors, they are sleeper contenders for me.
Yeah, and there's so much star power. And again, to your point, well, like the seeding just changes like each and every night. But I mean, you know, if the Suns slipped down and once again being in that play-in tournament, and you have you know, KD, Devin Booker and the Suns, and LeBron and AD and the Lakers, and Steph and Klay and Draymond and the Warriors, and Luka, and I mean, that's the star power. Again, I was not a big play-in tournament guy. Obviously, these last couple of years, it's helped the Lakers, or at least this past season. And again, two of the better play-in tournament games have been the Lakers facing the Warriors. So again, we'll see how that all shapes out. Okay, moving to the Clippers again, they had a big one of these like litmus test games going up against Milwaukee, currently the number two seed in the East. This was another situation, Grant, where just the way that they closed out really surprised me. They you know, had a 10-point lead in the first quarter. They led through three. Again, they looked in position to have one of their bigger wins of the season. And again, they've had some big wins this season. Again, like they went into Boston, blew out the Celtics. In my mind, that's the best win of the season. But for them to just fall flat in the fourth, and again, that's what happened against the Lakers, where they blew a 21-point lead. In the fourth quarter against Milwaukee, they got outscored 40-25. We talked about this before. You know, what about this loss hurts, and is it a continuation of some of the problems that you've seen so far?
Oh, absolutely. They did kind of the exact same things that we saw in that Lakers loss, where they blew the 21-point lead in the fourth quarter. This time, they blew a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter. And I don't think it was just that it was to the Bucks, Arash. I think it was just because it was to the Bucks without Giannis and Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
Should never happen, especially when you're up by that much in the fourth quarter. I don't care if you're on a back-to-back, which they were. They were on a back-to-back. Again, I'm not giving them any excuses because they got to play through it. I'm not going to say any of that stuff because I've seen it when they were rested, and I've seen it when they weren't rested. So it was the same things. It was a lack of execution. It was poor defense. It looked like tired legs. I mentioned this last week. It looked like they just have never played with each other. And down the stretch and going into a playoff season where this is kind of make or break for the Clippers. I know that they'll probably re-sign everybody in the offseason, but in terms of, you know, kind of a last hurrah, this is not the kind of momentum you need going into the playoffs. And I understand there's 18 to 20 games left in the season, but this team has now blown two double-digit fourth quarter leads in the past week, not just in the past month, not just in the second half, in the past week. And you can't just blame it on poor effort or lazy legs or tiredness anymore. You can't blame it on that because it was the same type of offense. It was the same type of defense that I saw against the Lakers. So there have been great wins. Like, you go from a great win on Sunday against the Timberwolves, who had the number one defense in the league. They were the one seed. They have a young team, and you beat them at their place. And then you go and play the Milwaukee Bucks, and for 3.5 quarters, it looks like you're going to be a back-to-back winner and on a three-game winning streak. And all of that goes down because you can't, you know, run through the tape. And this team, just for whatever reason, ever since that Grammy trip, they have not been able to run through the tape. And Ty Lue and James Harden and Kawhi Leonard have said, oh, well, we'll get it together. Oh, well, the execution, we'll have to work on it. There's only so many times you can work on it before it just starts to become a real problem. And there's something going around Clippers Twitter right now. It's on a scale of 1 to 10, how worried are you about the Clippers? I'm seeing a lot of 7s and 8s. I'm seeing a lot of fans being pretty worried about this recent stretch here because defensively they're at the back of the pack since that trip. Offensively, they're at the back of the pack, and you're going to look at their total standings and say their total rankings and say, oh, well, they're second in offense and they're 15th in defense. But overall, since late January, Arash, this is a team that's playing like a play-in team. And going into the playoffs, if you play right now, Arash, I hate to do this, if you're looking at a playoff matchup, it's 4 against 5, Clippers against Pelicans.
Which is the same. Explain that, because, like, for whatever reason, and again, there's a lot of people that maybe they have their kryptonite, or that the Pelicans are just a bad matchup for the Clippers, right?
Yes, the Pelicans have owned the Clippers over the past 3-4 years, and it's just due to the size. They have a lot of long guys, Brandon Ingram, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy. They give the Clippers the most issues, I'd say, out of any of these teams listed here. And if you have a first-round matchup against the Pelicans, and I know you're going to have home court advantage, that is the least ideal option for you right now. And for a Clipper team that went on that insane stretch in December and January, for it to end in a 4 seed against you, the team that you cannot beat to save your life, that is almost a failure of a regular season. So they're 3 games out of a 1 seed. They're 2.5 out of the 3 seed. It's not all lost, but the way they're losing games right now gives Clipper fans no confidence in this team doing anything in the playoffs. Can they? Absolutely. They have the most talent still in the league, in my opinion, in terms of roster. But the mentality and the lack of focus is very concerning right now.
You touched on the brutal stretch that they have coming up. Tonight they got Houston. And again, Houston's just a tough matchup for teams as well. And then they have they come back home to play Chicago, but back-to-back against Milwaukee once again. That'll be tough. And then Minnesota again. Yes, they went to Minneapolis and beat Minnesota, a big win for them, but that's another team that's been very hard for them to defeat. And then they go back on the road to face Chicago and then the Pelicans. And so you know, it's one of those things where I think at the very least, and I know that there was sort of a log jam with the top four teams in the West, I do think that the top three have separated themselves somewhat from the Clippers. Like, I would be very surprised, obviously, at this point if the Clippers were a top two seed. Again, that would have just been a nice thing for the Clippers to have. Again, they've never been the one seed in franchise history. They were the two seed in 2020. It just, listen, you want home court for as long as you possibly can. And they've been a very good team at home. Now you're in that four seed. And as you said, it's just going to be a tough matchup in the first round. Like that 4-5 matchup. And again, for the years that I covered the Clippers, it was just like, and if there's a way that they can get out of this 4-5 matchup, because it's just going to be a grind against the Grizzlies, or it's going to be a grind against some team where, you know, the classic series against the Warriors, where like, yes, they advanced in a, you know, 7-game series, but then what happens? You played the top seed in round two. Right. And so it's just, yes, they want the highest seed possible. There was a moment there where I thought that they could get the one seed. It just seems like there's been a separation there. I just read for you these next few games. Houston, Chicago, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Chicago, Pelicans. Realistically, I mean, like what's a successful? That's 1, 2, 3. That's 6 games. I mean, I think they'll go 3-3. Obviously, that would not be ideal. What do you think that they can be? What do you think that they will be?
I think that's 4-2 is probably the best that they can do. 3-3 is probably likely. Even the Rockets and the Bulls, like those aren't games that you can take lightly either. That's why it's so important to take care of games early, because down the stretch, I mean, you're not going to have any favors for you. You can think that your schedule's easy, but all these teams are clawing for momentum for the next year. All these teams are kind of trying to get to the play-in. So there's really no easy matchups, no matter how you put it. They have to play the Bucks and the Timberwolves again, like you said. Again, two teams that have kind of owned them this year and owned them in years in the past. So I think 3-3 is probably what they'll end up, and that probably keeps you with the 4 seed. Look, the Pelicans are 2.5 back of you now. You can't really just think, oh, we're going to be the 4 seed. We'll be fine. The Pelicans are 2.5 back. That's still doable for them to get a 4 seed. So the lack of that kind of keying into that, I think, is a little bit concerning. But with the amount of talent on this roster, and they've stayed healthy primarily for the majority of the season, they can still be a 4-3 seed. It's just going to be very, very tough right now.
Yeah. Last question before we close out today. If, and again, I know you don't want this to play out this way, but if they get bounced in the first round again, and they're relatively healthy, is there a scenario where they don't go into their new home, the Intuit Dome, with this crew? And when I say this crew, Ty Lue, Kawhi, Paul George, Harden, Westbrook, I mean, like, do you think that they would still run this back if they get bounced in round one?
I think it depends on how it looks, Arash. Yeah. Like, if they lose in 5 games to a Pelicans team, or if they just completely fall apart in a series or blow a series, if the stars don't play well, then you can maybe take a really hard look at it. And I think you really have to. I thought this after last offseason. Paul George has been really shooting the ball very bad, and he still wants a max contract by all intents and purposes. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should give him a max contract. James Harden probably deserves a max contract more than Paul George does. And if you were to tell me that 2 or 3 months ago, I would have said you're crazy. So it just depends on how they play. Kawhi's locked up, but if these guys continue to play like this, Arash, you have to take a hard look at it for your future. I don't care if that you're opening a new stadium. Yeah. If you can get another star player that's younger, you have to maybe look at it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I just like the idea of them going into their brand new home, the first home that they've had with just theirs, with these 4 local stars. But yeah, you bring up a great point. If guys are hurt and they lose, that's one thing. But if they're healthy and they lose, that could change things. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.